Shalom to all. Today's office called up Kuvah Yudzayin. We are starting Kuvah Yudzayin on Beis of the Bond with the brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Shar Batz Biyaka Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. So we have a pause that tells us that Chelev and Dam are Aser. It says Kol Chelev Chol Dam Lo Yisai Chelu. And we already know this. We have this multiple times about the Masechta. So now the Mishnah tells us Chomer B'Chelev B'Dam V'Chomer B'Dam B'Chelev. There's a Chomer by Chelev over Dam, and there's a Chomer by Dam over Chelev. Even though they're both in the same exact pasuk and they're both the same Iser, we find Chomers by each one of them. Chomer B'Chelev. What's a Chomer that we find by Chelev? Shachelev Kuvah Yudzayin Malaf on top. Mylin Bay. One could be ever Meila with Chelev. We know the Me'ilah is misappropriated and hektish, which means that even though Chelev is Aser by itself, even from a regular animal, still one could also be over Me'ilah if he eats or he benefits from Chelev of hektish. Also, the Chelev and Olmishon Pigle Noiser Tomei, he's Chai for Pigle Noiser Tomei. If his carbon that his Chelev came from was possible because of Pigle or Noiser, or if he is Tomei and he eats Chelev that's Kachim, he's going to be Chai for that, besides for the fact that he ate Chelev. As opposed to blood, this doesn't apply to blood. V'chayim B'dam, and there's a Chorim by Dam, Shadam, Noyim Behem V'chayim V'oif, Bain Tomei and Bain Tahirim, the Isser of eating blood applies to domesticated animals, chais, which are not domesticated animals, birds, whether non-kosher and kosher, a chilev, in like el behemotar bavad, the Isser of chilev is only by a kosher behema, we already know it doesn't even apply by kosher chayos. That's where it begins by asking Munan Mili, how do we know this? How do we know there's an Isser of Me'ila by chilev? So Amar B'yana, he tells us, the Amar Kodesh, because the Pasuk says, kasher yuram yishar zevach hashlamim, just like it was separated from the shar zevach hashlamim. Now, what's this referring to? So this Pasuk is stated by the par kohen gadol, special bowl that's brought by the kohen gadol, and it tells us that you know how you're supposed to process it, what you're supposed to do with it, that just like these things, these sacrificial parts, were separated from a shar zevach hashlamim, meaning from a carbon shlamim, that's what you're supposed to do with the par kohen gadol. Now here's the problem. What are we learning from the shar zevach hashlamim? What exactly is a shlamim teaching us about what we're supposed to be doing with the par kohen gadol? We don't even need that pasuk at all, because if you look at all the psukim that talk about the par kohen gadol, it tells us very clearly what we're supposed to do, that this is supposed to go there, and that's supposed to go somewhere else, and that's supposed to be burned, and this isn't. The psukim are very detailed and descriptive, so we don't actually need to learn anything from shlamim. So what exactly is the pasuk telling us? That's why we say, me'at from now, hariz it came to teach us something, meaning this pasuk about shlamim seems at face value that it's teaching us something about the par kohen gadol, but it turns out at the end that it's the reverse, that we're learning something from par kohen gadol to a carbon shlamim, and that's as follows. We compare a shor, which is brought as a shlamim, to the par kohen mashiach. Ma par kohen mashiach yash be me'ilah, just like the par kohen mashiach, one could be ever me'ilah with it, afshar zevach shlamim yash be me'ilah, so too a carbon shlamim, meaning just a regular carbon shlamim, one could be ever me'ilah with it. So amalei rechanina, rechanina asked Rabbi Yanai, is the following thing that Rebbe taught really repulsive to you? You don't like it? What did Rebbe teach? A different drasha. It says in the pasuk, "Kol chelav laHashem." The pasuk tells us that all chelav is for Hashem. L'rabbis imurei kachim kalim meila. This concluding that the imurim of kachim kalim, one could be over meila with them. Now the chiddush that is as follows: kachim kalim, which are a lower level of kachim, for example, a carbon shlamim, one is not able to be over meila with it before it's shechted, because in a way it's considered mum and bailim. It's not really owned by Hashem, if you will. So you can't be over meila. You can only be meila with something that's officially hektish on a higher level. It's only after shecht you could be over meila. As that's Rebbe's teaching us in his pasuk, kol chev l'Hashem, that all chev is for Hashem, that all the different emurim of kachim kalim, the sacrificial parts that are put on the mizbeach, one's able to be over me'il with them after it's shechted. So we already see that one could be over me'il with kachim from here. Rebbe Yani, why do you have to come with a different drasha? So Rabbi Abai says, Ischech, we have to have both of them, because Rechman chelev, if we just had this pasuk of chelev from Rebbe, havamina, I would think chelev in, your saras shtei klayos loy, that one's only over me'ilah with chelev, fats from a carbon, but your saras and shtei klayos, which is the diaphragm of the two kidneys, I would think that one is not over me'ilah, because that's not included in Chelev. Therefore, cause Rechmana Kasher Yuram, that's why the first pasuk by the Par Kohen Mashiach, the Par of the Kohen Gadol, that tells whatever separated from a Shlamim, that's what's supposed to be done also by the Par Kohen Mashiach, that then includes your Sarsen Shtei Kloyes in Chelev Me'ilah. And because Rechmana Kasher Yuram, if we only had Rabbi Yane's Joshua Kasher Yuram, Havamina, I would think the Chelev Aliyah, the less of a Shar, the Chelev of the tail, this is like the fatty part of the tail of a sheep, that's not by a Shar, it's only by a sheep. So like, I might think that one is not going to be over Me'ilah with it, even when it happens to be part of the Murim that's supposed to be brought in the Mizbeach. Therefore, cause Rechmana, Kol Chelev, that's what Torah says, Kol Chelev, to tell us that even the Aliyah, this fatty part of the tail sheep, one could be over Me'ilah with it. Now, Omer Marla Ravzid, or Marias Ravzid, E Aliyah Kroy Chelev, if you're telling me that the Aliyah, this fatty part of the tail, is called Chelev, then one could be over Me'ilah with it, because it's included in that Pasuk, then Tetzer Bachila, it shouldn't be allowed to be eaten, because we know you're not allowed to eat Chelev. So Omer Ravzid told him, Alecha Makra, about you, meaning what you just said. The Pasuk tells us, Kol Chelev Shar V'Chesav Eiz, any Chelev of a Shar, Chesav or Eiz. What do we learn from here? Dabra Shavab, Shar V'Chesav Eiz, something which we find equally across all these animals. Shark has an A's, only that type of chelev is the Asur chelev. However, if we find chelev just on one of them, for example, this fatty part of the tail of the sheep, that's not included in the type of chelev that's Asur to eat. However, again, it does fit under the pasuk of chelev that tells us one could be over me'il with it. Now, Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi gives a different answer, that chelbay really should be chelev ha'alya yikrai, chelev stama lo yikrai. This fat of the tail is called chelev ha'alya. It's not called plain chelev, and that's why it's not Asur to eat, because only regular chelev is Asur to eat, but not chelev ha'alya. So we ask on that, El Mati, that's really so, lo y Yemalubas, then he shouldn't be over Me'ilah with it, because anything that fits under the title of the Pasuk of Me'ilah of Chelev has to be called Chelev, not Chelev Alya. Gemara says, you're right, Amachmar to Grozvid has to be the growing through Zvid's answer, that the only type of Chelev which is usher to eat is something that's equal across Shar, Kesev, and Aes, and that's why the fatty part of the sheep's tail is not a problem of Chelev, because it's only by the sheep's tail. We go on to the next part of Mishnah, which I said, Masha Inkim Badam, this does not apply to blood, so ask the Gemara Manani Mili, how do we know this? How do we know there's no Me'ilah by blood of a carbon? So Amrula, he tells us, Damar Krah, because the Pasuk says, Lachem. Namely, when it says, Vanina Sativ Lachem Alam is Beach, that it's for you, what do we learn from here? Shalchem Yehei, that the blood's considered yours. Even though it's part of the Havaida, still it's considered a person's, it's yours, and therefore you're not going to be ever Me'ilah. Now, the Beer Bishmal taught, and the Beis Meshav Bishmal was taught, that this Pasuk tells us, Lechaper, it's for Kapara. What do we learn from here? Lechaper Nasativ Loy Lame'ilah. I've given it to you, says Hashem, for Kapara, for an atonement, but not for Me'ilah at all. Now, Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says that Amar Krah, the Pasuk tells us, again, it's the same Pasuk, who? And it says, Ki Adam who, Banafashi Chaper, what do we learn from the word who, that it is? That tells us that who lefnei kapara kalacha kapara, it has the same status before and after the kapara, meaning before and after sprinkled on his beach. The mala acha kapara ain't by me'ilah, just like after it was sprinkled on his beach, you can't be over me'ilah with the blood of the carbon. Af lefnei kapara ain't by me'ilah, so too, even before kapara, before it was sprinkled on his beach, one can't be over me'ilah with it. So ask the Gemara, why don't we say the exact opposite? Ve'ema, who la'acha kapara kelefnei kapara? Why not say that when the pasuk tells us who, that the blood remains in the same state, then we compare after kapara to before kapara? Mala lefnei kapara yash by me'ilah, just like before kapara, before sprinkling the blood, one could be over me'ilah with it. Af la'acha kapara yash by me'ilah, so too, after sprinkling the blood, one could be over me'ilah with it. Why are you darshaning the other way around? And the answer is because ein l'cha davar shenasa mitzvah so yemaylin bay. There's no such a thing that its mitzvah was done with it and you could still be over me'ilah. The only way you could be over me'ilah with something, misappropriating hektish, using it for your own benefit, if it's still considered l'gavaya, it's still for Hashem, it's still in the process of avoida, if you will. But something that already has finished its avoida, you can't be over me'ilah with it. And after the blood is sprinkled, then its avoida is finished, so you can't possibly over me'ilah. Ask the Gemara, really, you can't? Vary chumas hadeshen, denasa mitzvah yemaylin bay. What about chumas hadeshen? The scoop of ashes that's taken off from his beach every morning, put onto the floor of the azara right next to the ramp in his beach. Its mitzvah was done, it's finished, but still you could be over me'ilah. The chesiv kaza pasuk says, v'samay etzal mizbeach, and you shall place it next to mizbeach. And we learn from here that it has to be next to mizbeach, always has to remain there, and you're never allowed to benefit from it, even though you already did chumas hadeshen. So we see the supplies by chumas hadeshen, and the answer is mishum davay chumas hadeshen and big day kahuna shnei ksavim b'am ka'echa. That's because chumas hadeshen and big day kahuna, which we'll explain in a moment, those are two psukim. They're teaching us the same thing, and we already know that v'chol shnei ksavim b'am ka'echa ein melamdin. Then anytime we have two psukim teaching us the same thing, you can't learn from there to other places. Now, what's big day kahuna referring to? So this is talking about the special linen big day kahuna worn by the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur. Pasuk tells us that after he's finished, he takes them off and he nicham sham and he places them there. He leaves them as they are, and we learn from there that even though he finished the avodah with them, still one could be over me'ilah if he takes them and uses them. And so again, these are shnei ksavim ka'echad. Ask the Gemara, honichler rabbanon da ami v'nicham sham malam shetun and geniza. This is good according to rabbanon who hold this pasuk. V'nicham sham tells us that big day kahuna of the kohen gadol of Yom Kippur, they require geniza and you're not allowed to use them afterwards. And if you do, you could be over me'ilah. Al Rab Daisa, according to Rab Daisa, that he says it's for a totally different drasha. Da amar, he tells us shalay yishtamish behen liyom kippurim acher. That the pasuk v'nicham sham just tells us that the big day kahuna that were used this Yom Kippur are not allowed to be used next Yom Kippur, but they are allowed to be used by regular kohen hedyot throughout the year. So according to Rab Daisa, Michael Mamer, what do we able to say? We clearly have a source from Chumas Hadeshen. Though its mitzvah was done, you still could be over me'ilah. So maybe that should apply to blood as well. The Gemara says, El, or rather, Kontrabdais would be Mishum to have a Chumas Hadeshen, but Egla Rufa Shnegzvim Ka'echad. Chumas Hadeshen and Egla Rufa are two psukim that are teaching us the same thing. V'chol Shnegzvim Ka'echad, Eim Lamdin, and we can't learn from Shnegzvim Ka'echad, two psukim teaching us the same thing. Egla Rufa is referring to when we do the whole process of Egla Rufa, when we chop the calf on the back of the neck, we learn from the pasuk over there as well that it has to be left and we're not allowed to benefit from the animal after it's killed. Ask the Gemara, fine. Honey Chlamad Amar Eim Lamdin. This is a good occurring to Manda Amar that you can't learn from two psukim that are teaching us the same thing. El Manda Amar Malamdin Michael Maymar. But according to Manda Amar, that you could learn from Shnegzvim Ka'echad. So what are we able to say? We should technically learn from here the blood of a carbon, even after it was sprinkled, is subject to me'ilah. So Mar Kofi Yizayin on based on the top answers, Trey Miutik CV, there's actually two miutim, meaning these psukim are not considered a classic Shnegzvim Ka'echad because each one is written by way of a miut and therefore it excludes everything else. Hachak Zeb over here says by Chumas Hadeshen, Vissamai, he shall place it, and the word it is the miut. And Hasam Ksev over there by Egla Rufa, it says Ha Arufa, and the hay of Ha Arufa, the Arufa, is a limitation as well. Now going back to discuss Dam, we just have three different shitas and how we know that Dam, blood of a carbon, is not subject to Me'ilah. As I think Mar asked, we also cry Lama Libi Dam. What do we have to have three different psukim for? Meaning, what do we have to have three different words in the pasuk that we can learn the same thing out from? Even though each Manda Amar just holds one of them, they could still be used for a drasha. The answer is Chalamutim Nicer. One of these words is coming to exclude from Nicer, which means there's no Isser of Nicer by blood. Nicer is when the meat of the carbon is left beyond the time it's allowed to be eaten, so that's a problem with the meat, but it's not a problem with the blood. Also, Chalamutim Me'ilah, one is to exclude blood from Din Me'ilah, and Chalamutim Toma, one is to exclude from Din of Toma. meaning if a person ate kachim blood when he was tameh, he's only the iver for eating blood, but not for eating kachim in a state of tumah. Afal pigel leitzarch kra, but in regards to pigel, we don't even need a pasuk for that. Did not because we have a mishnah that tells us kol sheish lamatirin ben adam ben lamizbeach chayv al mishum pigel. Anything that has a matir, whether for a person or for the mizbeach, so one could be chayv for pigel, which means a carbon one has this very chamer status of pigel. The only things that pigel applies to is if that thing has a matir, which means something needs to be done in order to be able to benefit or eat from this other thing. So let's just take the meat, for example. If you want to be able to eat from the meat of the carbon, we have to sprinkle the blood, so the blood is the matir of the meat. So the meat itself could be chai for pigel, but v'dam gufei matirhu, the blood itself is a matir. It doesn't have a matir. The meat has a matir. That would be the blood being sprinkled on the mizbeach. But the blood itself doesn't have a matir, therefore it can't be subject to pigel, so we don't even need a pasuk for that. Hashalach kol basar, basar finishing the 8th parak of the mesechta, just like mesechta finished this parak together, which mesechta finished the entire mesechta schon together, and of course, all of Shas Bavli together. And moving on to the brand new parak, and over here we have to have somewhat of an introduction. We're going to be learning about Tumas Eichlin and Tumas Nevelos. We already know that Nevela is an animal that died without Shechita, and it's a very high level of Tumah that can be Metame Adam, Kalim, and food, and we need a minimum of a Kazayas of Nevela to be Metame something else. Now, Tumas Eichlin is when food becomes Tameh, and the general understanding is that any amount of food could become Tameh. However, we need a Kabetza worth of Tameh food to be Metame other things. Now, there's two key points over here. When discussing Tumah, the object itself is not the only thing that can be tameh. There's also the yad and the shomer. Yad means handle. Take the handle of a pot, for example. You don't put food in it, but it's still part of it. Or the stem of an apple is the yad. You hold the apple with it, even though it's not food, it's still part of it. And it's the same thing with the shomer, which over here is translated as protector. The peel, for example, protects the orange. The skin protects the animal. We're going to see in the Mishnah, the bones protect the marrow that's inside of them. The shomer is not food, but again, it's part of it. Therefore, if just the yad or the shomer touches tumah, the thing itself becomes tameh. Same would be if the thing is tameh and something touches the yad or shomer, it will become tameh because again, the yad or the shomer is connected. Now, there's three more terms to become familiar with over here, and the first will only be relevant on the next daf. These are called kinisa, yitzia, and tziruf. Kinisa means bringing in, yitzia means sending out, and this refers to the thing contracting tumah. Kinisa, that's like bringing tumah onto itself, or being metameh something else. That's the yitzia. It's basically being mitzi, if you will. It's Toma, and Tziruf is joining multiple parts together to reach the required shear, which would be Kizayas or Kibetza. And our mission discusses Tziruf. So trying to keep all of that in mind, the mission tells us as follows. Ha'ar, the hide or the skin of the animal. V'haraitev, this literally means the gravy. This is basically congealed gravy on top of a piece of meat. V'hakefa, this is the spices that's along with the meat. V'ha'elel, more later on is going to discuss what elel is. V'hatzamois, and the bones. These are the bones that have marrow inside. V'hagidim, and the sinews. V'hakarnayim, and the horns. V'hatlafayim, and the hooves. Mitzdar from Latami Thomas Eichlim, they're mitzdar for the shear to Matami Thomas Eichlim, and that's Kibetza, as we said, Avoloi Thomas Nevelos, but not Thomas Nevelos. That's because as follows, even though all these things are not considered food by themselves, they still are able to be mitzarif with the food for the shear of Thomas Eichlim. The R, the hide, even though it's not food, it's considered a shimer. The Reitev, that would be considered food because it's eaten along with the meat. The Kefa also is considered food, Elo we're not discussing. The bones, that's considered the shimer because the bone is the shimer for the marrow inside, and the marrow's food. The gidin are not usually eaten, but sometimes you'll have gidin in a piece of meat and they will be eaten. Karnayim, which are the horns, this is referring to the base of the horn where it's very soft. That would be considered a shimer. Telafayim as well, the hooves, that's considered a shimer. So all these things are mitzarif. If we have slightly less than a beitza of actual food and then completing the beitza, we have one of these things, that's mitzarif for Tumas Eichlin, but not Tumas Nevelos. If we don't have a full kezias of actual nevela meat, these things are not going to help join in to be able to say that, oh, now it's nevela and it's metame. Kiyotze Baisim really says the Mishnah, Hashaycha behema temea le'ave kechavim v'yid shecht, a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, umfarchases, and it's still shaking around, meaning it hasn't died yet. Metame Tomas Eichlin, it is metame Tomas Eichlin at this point in time, avoloi Tomas Nevelos, but it's not going to metame as nevela yet, achi Tomas oyachi yatzes is reisha, until it dies 100%, so then it's nevela, or until he just chops its head off, so then it's considered dead for all intents and purposes. Now, we just ran the Mishnah as a very unique din. We already know from earlier in the Masechta that once the animal is shechted, it's not considered Aver Menachai anymore, even if it's still alive. That's because since the Torah tells us that for a Yid to eat an animal, all he has to do is shecht it, so Shechita is the Matir. Now, on the other hand, non-Jews have no din of Shechita, but do have the Isser of Aver Menachai, and therefore, they're not allowed to eat from an animal until it's actually dead. So what the Mishnah just told us now is that if we have the following and pay attention, the Yid is shechting a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, so then while it's still alive, it's being mefarches, it's kicking around, it hasn't died just yet, at that point in time, the yid's shechita of the animal makes it considered like it's eichlin, like it's food, and so it's evim tamitumas eichlin, but it's not nevela yet because it's not dead. Now the reason why we have to have the yid shechting it is because shechita of a guy doesn't mean anything. It would have to be shechita of a yid. It also has to be the shechting the non-kosher animal for the non-Jew, because if he was shechting the non-kosher animal for himself, it's not considered eichlin for him because a yid can't eat not kosher. So it's only if the yid is shechting a non-kosher animal to be eaten by a non-Jew, so his shechita renders it eichlin even before it died, so it's evim tamitumas eichlin, and again, it's not considered nevela until it dies, which is just a short time later. Now the Mishnah just tells us a klal, riba latami tomas eichlin, mimash riba latami tomas nevelas. We see from all these things, and from Psukim as well, that there's more situations of tomas eichlin than there are tomas nevelas. And we have an argument with something we mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Amri tells us that ha'el ha'machunis, if we have elol from nevela, which is all gathered together, imish b'kizayis makim echad, if it has a kizayis in one place, chayv olav, one is chayv on it, and again, we're going to discuss this later on in the Gemara when we talk about the elol. So the Gemara tells us, tanina l'hadetan rabbanon, we just learned in a Mishnah something that was taught in a Braisa. What does the Braisa tell us? Shaimrim latoma kala v'leshaim latoma chamura, that there's the din of shaimer for lighter tuma, but not for more chamur tuma. Lighter tuma is tumas eichlin. That's because when food is tame, it can only be metame other food and drink, so it's very kal. Especially tuma chamura, which is referring to nevela, is very chamur because we know it's metame b'mago b'masa, and it's also metame adam and kelim. So this Braisa tells us there's this din of shaimer that when we have this protector or this covering, we'll see that that's mitzaref. That's considered part of it for tuma kal, but not tuma chamura. Where do we see this? Shaimer tuma kal minalan. Where do we see this din of shaimer by lighter, easier tuma? That's because it's tanya b'shmal. We have rest on the basis of b'shmal. The pasuk in regards to tumas eichlin tells us, "I'll call zera zerua," and we have to add in the following two words, "asher yizareya." Loosely translated, this means regarding every seed which is planted. And again, it's talking about tumas eichlin. So what do we learn from these key words that we added in? These two words of asher yizareya, which are planted. Kedach shminad ma'itzin lizria. The what can be tame, or what's the criteria? Just like bringing a seed out to be planted. Chita b'klipasav, so'ar b'klipasav, adashim b'klipasan. Wheat, barley, and lentils, all them, when they're planted, are with their klipa, their peel, or their husk. When a person plants them, he doesn't bother taking off the husk. That klipa is considered the shimer. It protects the pri, and even though it's not edible, we still see it's considered part of it in regards to tumah, because again, that's what the pasuk is referring to. So we clearly see that by tumas eichlin, the shimer is part of it. And going to the next point, v'loi shimrim l'tumah chamurim minalan. How do we know there's no din of shimrim for tumah chamurim, mean for nevela? So that's because Tanurban, we have a brass that tells us, binivlasa, in its state of nevela, as when the pasuk says, don't touch a nevela, and if one does, they become tameh. So we learn from this word, binivlasa, in its state of nevela, that's mashma just the basar. V'loi ba'ar shein ol v'kazayis basar, but not if he touches hide that doesn't have a kazayis of meat. That's not going to be tameh. Now, kofichas amun alfa, the brass continues, yachon again, connected basar ma'achayrav, lo yehe tameh. You might think that if a person touches the hide corresponding to where the meat is, that he's not going to be tameh. So tamar to that, the pasuk says, yitma. Ask the Gemara, Micah Amar, what's the brass saying? First brass tells us that if he touches the hide that doesn't have a kazayis of basar on it, then he's not tamei. And then the brisa is mashma the exact opposite. That if he touches the hide corresponding to where the basar is, then he is tamei. What's that supposed to mean? The answer is amarava v'amilah kedi. Some say is rava, some say is kedi, which means we don't know who said it. Because we're mechs rava hachitani. The brisa is missing something. This really what should be taught. When the pasuk says bin avlasa in its state of nevela, that tells us that only if the nevela meat itself is touched, so that conveys tama v'loy ba'ar she'in ol kazayis basar v'ar mashlim ol kazayis, and not if a person touches the hide which doesn't have a kazayis of meat. And the only way we have a kazayis here is that the hide completes that kazayis, that is not metame. So we see from here that there's no shaimrim for tumah chamura, because the ar, the hide, is considered the shaimer, and since we don't have a full kazayis of meat over here, even though the shaimer, the ar, completes it to a kazayis, it still doesn't convey tumah. Now we continue with the braisa, yachal shani moitzi af ar sheyesh olav kazayis basar. I might think to include that even if the ar does have a kazayis of meat on it, so I get connected basar machayrav, if a person touches the hide corresponding to where the meat is, meaning he's not touching the meat itself, he's just touching the hide that's right in the back of where the meat is, yachal lo yehi tameh, you might think that he's not going to be tameh, va'afilu maisi yad nami le'ovid, and that's because it's not even treated as a yad, meaning it doesn't even have the status of a yad, of a handle, so it's not able to convey tumah like that. Tumah lemer yitma, that the pasuk says yitma, and so we learn that it at least does have the status of a yad. In other words, even though the R is really a shimer, and we just said that in regards to tziruf, a shimer is not mitzaref for the full shear, it still is able to be treated as a yad, and therefore could transfer tumah from a kezayis of basar to the person who touches just the hide. And we're separate for the day. We'll pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this much more extensively. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.